I want you to turn with me to the fourth chapter of Mark's Gospel. The fourth chapter of Mark's Gospel. Turning to Mark, the fourth chapter, and just before we read, I might call your attention that Jesus has been teaching on seeds and sowing and harvest and fruit in Mark, the fourth chapter, from verse 1 on up to the time when we follow Jesus and the disciples in the storm at the sea. Some 34 verses teaching that what you sow, you reap. What you put in the ground will come up spiritually, or every farmer knows that principle. And now we come to Mark, the fourth chapter, verse 35. And the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow, and they awake him and listen to what they said to Jesus, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? I'm not going to try to be complicated in any way, form, or fashion with the message this morning. I'm just speaking to you out of a pastor's heart. And I believe that what I'm ministering will touch every one of us. I have lived in these verses for a number of days. Jesus is greater than your storm. Jesus is greater than your storm. And I realize as a pastor when I make that statement that there are people here on all levels of life. Some might have said, as Brother Gentry was teaching, well, what are you talking about, prosperity preacher? I'm already financially okay. And many people are sincere in that. But what you must realize is what our dear brother said, that everything minus God equals nothing. And so if you are blessed, then you need to know God's principles to stay blessed in changing times. And the story of so many in this audience that I know as a pastor touches my heart every time I look across this audience to see people that came into this auditorium with nothing. Women working 2 and 3 jobs to try to support children that were left abandoned. And today, thank God, there's one job that is sufficient. And not a car that is not safe to drive to church, but a decent automobile, and things are better. How many know when things have been worse, it's good when things are better? Some may call it luck. I don't. I call it blessing. We are blessed. I still love to tell the story, Brother Shambach, told when someone came up in a prayer line and said, Brother Shambach, I want you to pray over this rabbit's foot. It's a lucky rabbit's foot. And Brother Shambach in his frank way said it didn't help the rabbit, did it? If it didn't help the rabbit, I don't know if we need to pray over this rabbit's foot or not. Well, I have something better than a rabbit's foot for you this morning. It's the promises of God. And it's not luck, but it's faith and it's blessing. It's being able to look into the mirror and feel good about what you see. And know that you're a blood-washed, blood-bought child of the living God. Not all you want to be, but not what you used to be, and on the way to being everything that Jesus died for you to be. So Jesus is greater than your storm, than my storm, than any storm that we could face. I know that everyone has to have a starting place in the ministry. And when you start, you should start just like many of us started, preaching it because it's true. You don't have to experience everything before you preach it. But I promise you, if you preach it, you'll probably experience it. But the thing that comes to my heart with such assurance today is that after going through almost every conceivable type of situation that you can go through, and of course this Easter will be pastoring 34 years, which is quite uncommon nowadays in changing times. But I can tell you that God is on the throne. And you can trust God with everything that you have in your life. You can trust Him with your mind, your body, your pocketbook, your children, your grandchildren, your present, your future. God is worthy of your trust. And so today, let's just break it down where we can all receive what is needed in your particular situation, remembering from Mark chapter 4 that Jesus is greater than your storm. First of all, there was a great invitation. He saith unto them, let us pass over to the other side. I may remind you that this was an invitation and also a promise. But when Jesus said let, He reminded us that we must will to do His will. God will not make you do His will. The Lord is a gentleman. Jesus is a gentleman. And no matter how deeply He longs and desires for you to have heaven's best, He will not make you receive that, nor can He make you receive that. But He said, let. We must will to do His will. Let us. Remember that Jesus is in this with us. Passover declares that we can't sink. If Jesus is in the boat, we will go to the other side, which means there will be a performance of those things that God has promised. What an invitation. The invitation was given to the altar this morning. It was not just for the forgiveness of sins, which is the greatest miracle of God that can ever happen. But you who came forward this morning took Jesus as your partner. You took Jesus as your partner for life. And there is no friend, there is no partner, there is no associate like the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. So it was a great invitation, and many of us have heard this invitation, and we said yes to the Lord Jesus. There's another side to this that many people somehow do not quite understand. Some people, all they teach is, if you come to Jesus, the bottom's going to drop out of everything. Everything's going to go sour. Everything's going to go bad. There used to be a business organization that called themselves Christian, and almost every testimony said, well, I came to Jesus, and I went bankrupt, and I went broke, and I thought, man, I don't believe I want to be around these folks. Everybody comes to Jesus, goes broke, or they go bankrupt, or something crazy happens. So there's an extremity of the negativism. There's an extremity of looking at things on the negative side. And some people honestly never expect to have anything in life. That's not the will of God for you. And then there's some people that say, well, if I come to Jesus, I'll never have a problem. Never have a physical test. That there will never be another problem. I just heard the testimony of someone that came to Jesus and everything was perfect. Well, I must tell you the truth. Between the two, there is a point of reality. The Bible said over and over again that those who follow the Lord, their faith is going to be tested. But thank God we win. But notice, here was the great invitation. But following the great invitation, there was a great storm. And this is the hardest thing to articulate, that in the center of God's will, storms can come. I do not want to belabor that point, but I want to tell you that in the middle of God's will, storms can come. I can't explain to you things that happen in families and things that happen in relationships and things that happen in business associates. There's a lot of things that can go wrong in life, and there's really no explanation. Only heaven and time and eternity will reveal that. How in the world could you get in the boat with Jesus and all of a sudden be caught in a killer storm? Doesn't seem to make sense, does it? How in the world could you trust your life to Jesus, in the boat with Jesus, in full trust and faith, and yet a killer storm blows upon your little boat? It was a serious life-threatening storm. And you know, it's a strange thing, and again, we're not belaboring the point, but there's some great ministries that are being used for God all over the world that are facing storms and facing challenges in their life. My phone rings quite often. There are those that have a sick companion or an illness that they're battling or some opposition to ministry. And that's why we must all surround ourselves with the force of prayer. We need each other. I need you and you need me. You say, well, I'm a visitor here this morning. You still need me and I still need you. You never know when you're going to need someone more than you've ever needed them before. Don't burn bridges behind you. Keep doors open. Don't burn bridges behind you. Walk in love. Walk in forgiveness. Let your phone be open. Let your heart be open. You never know, the worst enemy you have could call you tomorrow and say, I need some help. I need some prayer. We must be open. We must walk in forgiveness. We must be big enough to forgive and walk in God's grace. So there's a great invitation. Jesus said, let us pass over to the other side. Now a great storm. But thirdly, there's a great misconception here. The disciples come back to Jesus and said something that, how could you say it? Would you say that to Jesus? I guess we all have, maybe in one way or another. Lord, don't you care? If you're Jesus, why don't you care? If you're Jesus, why am I in this jam? If you're Jesus, why is the pressure on? Don't you care? Has anybody ever asked the Lord that? Yeah, come on, let's just confess and just be real honest here this morning. Has anyone ever looked up to heaven and said, Lord, do you really care? I mean, I've always believed it, but I mean, today there's a little hesitation here. There's something here I'm having to deal with. We all have said it. If you didn't say it, you thought it. You might have had a smile on your face, but you thought it. But you know, there's something about Jesus. You can be honest with Jesus. The only thing that offends him is total rejection and faithlessness. He's open for an honest answer. He's open for an honest question. You can talk to Jesus like you could talk to your best friend, except he's better than your best friend. Lord, don't you care that we perish? I think that's fallen from all of our lips in certain situations of life. And you know what Jesus did? Thank God when they approached Jesus, he just got up and did something about it. And here we see a great Savior. You say, how can you call him great? He's asleep on a pillow. The storm is on. Where is his greatness? But listen to the great Savior. He just got up. He's a present help in the time of need. And I tell you, he's more powerful in his silence than he is when some of you think he's so verbal. His power, his dynamics, his word, oftentimes is more powerful in our lives when things seem silent. We're not hearing everything we want to hear. We're not seeing everything we want to see. So many times I tell new converts this, they come and say, you know, Pastor, it just seems like I'm not growing. It seems like nothing really is happening in my life. And I hear all these thrilling testimonies. What about me? What's happening to me? What's wrong with me? Let me tell you something. Most of the time when you don't think that you're growing in grace, you're growing far much more than you realize you are. Sometimes when we're just all bubbly and, you know, we've just full of words and, you know, sometimes things can just get out of hand almost and even become religious in expression. But sometimes when things are quiet, sometimes when it seems like things are not working and moving, God is at work, sometimes in a far deeper way, a far more dynamic way than when alarm bells are going off and we just felt so good that we forgot what we felt good about by the time we got home. Desire of my heart as a pastor, as I minister, I want to put something in you that will keep you in the storm. Most people would have quit Jesus in the midst of the storm when they looked back and saw the leader asleep in the back of the boat. What kind of Jesus is this? A man that invites you to go with him all the way to the other side. Now he's asleep. We know he's going to be all right, but what about us? They weren't worried about Jesus. They said, "Carest thou not that we perish?" There was no concern there for Jesus. They knew that everything was going to be all right with him. But what about us, Lord? A great misconception, a great Savior, though. But you know, there was a word that was spoken, and I've been meditating on this word for several days. It was a great word. You know what that word was? Follow me closely. You know what Jesus said? He didn't say, "Storm, be still." The first thing Jesus said was, "Peace." Say it with me, peace. What so many people are looking for. What's going to turn the storm around? Peace. The peace of God that passes all understanding. Because when I'm out of peace, I'm out of control. When I'm out of peace, I'm out of faith. When I'm out of peace, I'm probably mad at God. The first thing he said, "Hey, Jesus, you don't understand the problem. You don't understand the problem. Storm, water, death, imminent. You okay? We in trouble." I don't think you get the message here, Lord. But oh, follow me today. The Word of God speaks of the peace of God that passes all understanding. And the answer to the dilemma of your storm is, first of all, get back into peace. Get back on your peace. 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 Not a lot of people have peace. Not a lot of believers really have peace, to be honest with you. They have a measure of it. Peace, be still. He didn't say, "Be still, peace." He said, "Peace, be still." I'd never noticed that before. Because you see, when I'm at peace, I'm in faith. I've got it together. I mean, sometimes people come and say, "But, I mean, pastor, I can't even get a word in edgewise." I think I know what Jesus was talking about. I think they were all talking at the same time. And Jesus said, "Peace. Peace." But you don't understand healing. No, peace. But you don't understand storm. No, peace. But you don't understand money. Peace. But you don't understand reconciliation. Peace. Out of peace, out of control. Out of peace, out of control. I talked to a retired lieutenant colonel one day this past week. And he related to me, and this is certainly not a throwdown on the military, because thank God we have the strength that we have in this nation. So it's not a throwdown on the military. But he said, "You know," he said, "I was a man that barked commands. I gave orders." And he said, "If an order was not followed through with, why then problems." And he said, "When I left," he said, I was a man with a hard heart. He didn't know Jesus. But now the man has come into a faith experience with the Lord. And he said, "Things are changing." And he said, "I'm learning that prayers can be answered." And he said, "This is going to be the happiest Christmas of my life." He said, "My daughter and I have been estranged for, was it four, almost 5 years. He said, "There's been such severe hostility, there was no communication whatsoever. And he said, would you believe after prayer, I got a call the other day. And my daughter said, Dad, can I come home? I want to get things right. And the conversation was held with that man after the daughter came in, and he was a little bit apprehensive because he said, well, I hope that's what it's going to be, but it certainly hasn't been that way. But he said it was exactly what I prayed for. Peace. Reconciliation. God's calling people back to peace. We live in an angry world. We live in a hostile world. We live in a world where it's so easy to get off center with somebody. I believe God's calling His people back to peace. You say, but they were wrong and I was right. It's really, who's left is what it all amounts to. Again, let's go through this analogy, but I need finances. No, Jesus said peace. But I need reconciliation in my home. No, first of all, peace. This lieutenant colonel said, I have discovered the peace of God. I have discovered the peace of God. All through the Old Testament, when an angel would appear, the angel first of all had to say, peace. Because when an angel would appear, it oftentimes was not good news. Peace. Peace. After the resurrection, I would imagine those disciples, especially Peter, felt like less than dirt. Could you imagine that? Could you imagine how Peter felt? I've tried to connect with that, and I can't fully connect with it. I come close, but I can't fully connect. But you know, after the resurrection, you know the word of Jesus was peace, peace. When they announced that Jesus was to be born, it was peace on earth, goodwill toward men. You say, Pastor, there's not peace in the world today. Well, there is in parts of the world. There is in this part of the world. In this little circle here today, there's a lot of peace in this room today. As the praise and worship choruses were going forth, I felt a surge of peace. I leaned over to Brother Mark Carrillo and I said, did you feel that wind of the Spirit that swept through as we were in praise and worship this morning? As we were singing that chorus that Brother Johnny has written, I just sensed the peace of God. Folks, it's busy, fast track. We're all moving quickly. It's a crazy world we live in. But God's calling us back to peace. Peace. Wonderful peace. Not from the United Nations, not from man, but coming down from the Father above. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. The cross of Calvary was all about you and I being able to live in peace. But I need healing. But I need finances. But I need assurance. But I don't know what's going to happen on my job. Peace, peace, peace. The peace of God that passeth all understanding will stand guard over your heart and over your mind. First of all, peace, and then be still. When we're at peace, our storms will begin to subside. When we're at peace, the problems will begin to vanish. You know, it's an exciting thing. As I was just thinking about Billy Graham. Man's been such an inspiration to so many of our hearts. Billy Graham is just a young man. There were many contradictions. In fact, a very close seminarian friend of his had turned against the Word of God and was just really getting on out there somewhere. And Billy was very disturbed in his heart. And he had what they call the woods experience. He said, I went into the woods with nothing but my Bible, and I purposed to stay in the woods with my God until the issue was settled. And Billy Graham said when he came out of that woods experience, it was settled forever in his heart. I believe that this is God's word. I believe that this is God's word for me. If I believe it, and if I preach it, I will see what it promises to bring forth. He said, I will preach what I understand, and I will preach what I do not understand, because it is God's holy word. And in polls that have been taken over and over again, they tell me that there is no one who is respected any higher in the world today than Billy Graham, because the man just received the peace of God in his heart. There was a great calm. You know, the interesting thing about the Lord is that when God makes a storm to be calm, the calm is as great as the storm was. I was reading some notes the other day about a man who had many problems in his life. And I wrote a quote down. It's in my briefcase. It felt so good for the first time in my life to tell the truth. It felt so good for the first time in my life to tell the truth. See, when you tell the truth, you can be at peace. When you tell the truth, you don't have to worry about what you said last time. You tell one lie, you have to tell 100 lies to cover it. Oh, the need in the business world and the religious world and the political world and in all of our worlds just for God, old-fashioned honesty and integrity. And just tell the truth the first time because it is the truth. And if there's nothing to say, just say nothing. There's an honor in silence. But I must give you one more that has really blessed my heart. There was a great calm, but thank God there was a great lesson in faith. And when the storm was over, Jesus went back to those disciples, and the word of God said, after he had rebuked the wind, "Peace be still," the wind ceased, there was a great calm. He said unto them, "Why are you so fearful? Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" You know, years ago, there was a lot of negativism and a lot of condemnation, and then there came what some people call the faith message. Really, all the faith message is just believing that God said what he meant what he said. You know, it's really not that big a deal. It is a big deal, but what I mean is just simply taking God's word. This is not a joke book. This is a promise book. And so what I feel God is speaking to all of our hearts, to my heart, God's saying, get back on your faith. Get back to those basic faith principles. Get back to that simple, heartfelt trust in God. In all the years that we've pastored this church through all seasons, we've never come to a season that I've felt that we had it made. I look at the Uganda project. My head still spins when I almost feel like Mary when the angel came and said, "I have a project for you." Except ours was in the land of Uganda, thousands and thousands of miles away, not even realizing what would be required. Folks, God wants to keep us on the edge of expecting a miracle. Expecting a miracle. If you have it all figured out, you're smarter than God. There is no security outside of God. I never will forget in the former location. Lady came up one morning. I preached on Romans chapter 8. She was weeping convulsively. And finally, when she kind of got herself together, she said, "Pastor," she said, "this message this morning has changed my life." And she told me of an illegitimate birth, and she told me of going through foster homes and of people who didn't love her and didn't care for her. She said, "I grew up all of my life with no one that really cared about me." And do you know there are people in this world today that no one really cares about them? I know that's hard to conceive when you have so many friends surrounding you here today. There are people in this world who do not have one soul that they could turn to in the hour of crisis that they feel really would love them and care for them. But she said, "The revelation hit me from Romans 8. There is no security." She said, "There was no security in my birth. There was no security in my upbringing. There was no security in my first marriage that failed." She said, "I've sought for security all of my life, but this morning I found security. I have found Jesus." She said, "I see it. I see it. Security is in the Lord Jesus Christ." Oh, what a revelation. People live a lifetime and never have that revelation. And she was so thrilled that she had found security in her faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The great lesson in faith is this. You know, it's wonderful to see Jesus calm your storms, but isn't it wonderful to know that God gave us faith to live by every day? God gave you faith. If I could just go back and be utterly simplistic, one of these days we'll give an account of the talents that God's given us, but one of the greatest things that God has given us is faith. Faith. And I believe the answer is going to come, not a matter of heaven or hell, just a matter of rewards. What did you do with your faith? What did you do with that measure of faith that I gave you? 39 verses in Mark chapter 4. Seeds and sowing and harvest, and seeds and sowing and harvest. And on Jesus taught. You know, I've gone back and made some new commitments to the Lord the last few days. I said, Lord, I want to be as close to the faith of the heart of God as I know how to be. Paul said, we're crucified, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I live by the faith of the Son of God who died and gave himself for me. God's calling us back to our faith. You say, but there's no budget problems. There's no family problems. There's no job problems. No. I'm talking about you need faith every day. I like what Brother Gentry has taught us, to expect divine appointments and divine connections. Oh, what an insight. Expect divine appointments. Don't expect the worst. Don't expect bad luck. Expect every day to yield divine appointments and divine connections, that God may bring some lonely soul across your pathway that so desperately needs the help of God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. A great lesson in faith. What did he say? He said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Most translations say, how is it that you did not use the faith that you had? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? It takes some folks a little while to learn, but thank God people are catching on. You know what's thrilling me nowadays? I've seen it now for the last, especially since the new wave of revival has come. You say, well, it's calm here this morning. Don't kid yourself. This place is like a high-performance sports car. Just a little accelerator and this place would... There's power in this house today. You know what I see God doing? Listen to me carefully. There are seeds that have been sown in all of our lives that are coming up. I'm seeing people come to Jesus, and I'm a curious kind of a person. I say, well, where did your faith roots come from? Where did all this come from in your life? And they say, man, I don't know. My great-granddaddy was a heathen. My granddaddy was a heathen. You know, just a family of heathens. And what they probably do not realize, there was probably some grandmother that lived next door to them that prayed every day of her life, God save that entire family and save that entire household. Most of you don't even realize how many people have prayed for you. You might think you know who has prayed for you, but you don't know who really is praying for you. My heart has been so touched. People are praying for our family all over the world. I don't take that lightly. And I tell you that seeds have been planted. And just like, have you ever seen grass growing up out of concrete? Try to get it to grow in your front yard and it's a battle. One of our homes, it just seemed like the grass was saying, I dare you. You know, the soil was just saying, stay away. And I drove 2 blocks from the house, and growing up through a slab of concrete is the most beautiful patch of St. Augustine grass. And I thought, I'm missing something here. No one wanted it. No one planted it. Probably some little bird just dropped the seed by accident. But it came forth. But I tell you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is faith in every one of you born again believers here. Some may be small faith. Some may be larger faith. Some may be mustard seed faith. But watch it. In the year to come, your faith is going to grow exceedingly. Your faith is going to begin to come up through the concrete slabs of life. And things that have been so difficult are going to become easier. And things that have become so hard to face in your life. Watch it. Some real miracles are coming our way. Because God's opening the gate in 1998. He's opening the gate of blessing. He's opening the gate of peace. He's opening the gate of reconciliation. If I could go back just for a moment to that lieutenant colonel, he looked at me, eye to eye contact. He said, you don't realize I was a hard bird. But he said, something's happened. Love has softened my heart. Love has softened my heart. he and his daughter were reconciled this Christmas. It's not too late to be reconciled. Some of you need to go by the bookstore and buy a lovely card and just write someone and say, I love you. Would you forgive me? You say, oh, wait a minute, preacher, but you don't understand. They were wrong and I was right. Bury it. Get a life. Put it in God's hands. Humble yourself. Just write a card to someone if there's been a misunderstanding. Write a card to someone if there's been a terrible thing or even a small thing. Little things become big things. Maybe just something so simple as saying, just thinking about you in church this morning. You don't have to tell them I told you to think about them. Just say, I love you. God loves you. And I'm believing for a great year. In Jesus' name.